again, I ask you to pray that the Lord might be able to use these lips of clay in honor to his name. I appreciate the great mercy and love of the Lord. I know I say that quite often, or words to that effect. And sometimes after we say it so many times, it starts getting to be commonplace and we almost don't recognize the importance of those words. But folks, I do. I very much appreciate the mercy and the love of God. Along with that song, I want to tell you too, I am not interested in missing my eternal home for a little few loaves and fishes down here. It's not worth it. Now the Lord knows that we live here. And Jesus said when he got ready to leave, he prayed for people like you and I that was going to stay here. And he said, Lord, I pray for them. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. And that's what the Lord wants to keep you and I from. Because that's where the damage and the danger, that's where that infection comes. And the Lord wants to keep us from that type of a spiritual disease that would take our eternal soul. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to spell it out for you. Really, folks, we can try to search out all the places that we call evil and we can try to catalog it and you're going to be at it for a long time. But really, down deep in our heart, just be honest with yourself and God, and the Lord will let us know. And I just want to encourage us, everyone, seek Him with all of our heart. Follow Him with all that you have. We don't have to make this complicated. Love God. Put Him first. I'd like to turn over here in Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Pick up a question here. Again, I felt like the Lord had us at the beginning of the meeting to start off with a question. Whom seek ye? And I believe within that question, I believe the Lord wants to penetrate our thoughts and our minds and ask us, what is my passion? What am I seeking? Where's my love? If we love the Lord with all of our heart, I want to tell you there is a rich reward going down that path. But if I love myself, whom seek ye? That's the first question I think the Lord asked me to ask you. You know what? He asked me that question first. Asked me that question first. Then he asked me to ask you. Then the next one last night was, can these bones live? And I want to tell you, I love telling people, yes, these bones can live. Yes, those places of dried out emptiness can be reverted, the breath of God can enter in, and new life can bloom where the old corruption. That's a second question to the Lord. Can these, yes, the bones can live. The question we have tonight, if you'd like the Lord to have me ask, is found here in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, and it's surrounded by a story where there was a man by the name of Jacob. When he was young, he didn't really treat his brother right at all and was actually supported by his mother. It was not a very good thing at all. And it built some very strong feelings between him and his brother. In fact, he had to run for his life, couldn't even stay there. The decisions and the things that he chose to do. Jacob was known as supplanter. You know what that means? Deceiver. Somebody who had practiced the craft of not being upright and honest. And he did that with his brother, and he had to run for his life. And there was a time when the Lord caught him, and the Lord dealt with him. You remember, he laid his head on that stone, and the Lord came and worked with him and began to deal with this man. And the Lord did bless him. There was a lot of things, and the Lord was working with him to try to bring him back. And he brought him now to a point where he realized, see, he was down there in the land where he married his wives down there. I say wives because that's a story, and I don't encourage anybody to marry wives. God wants us to marry one. But this is what happened back there, and as a result of sin, folks. But here he was in this condition, down there in a foreign land, having to run for his life, dealing with the effects of his own deception. And then the Lord is bringing him to a place he needed to go back home. And now he's headed back home. And there met him. I'll get ahead of him just a little bit. Here he was of all this feeling of trepidation, all this feeling of what am I going to do now? And he was quite alone. And folks, I want to tell you, God wants to get you and I alone. It's his love. He wants not to isolate us from it. No, he wants to get our ear. He wants us to listen to him intently. He wants to find us by ourselves. But we can close the closet door, everything else shut out, because he wants to talk to us. He wants to do it like a father. Listen to what happened here. It's found, you can go ahead and read the story if you want to, somebody in the 32nd chapter of Genesis. But there was an angel came, and Jacob did not know it was an angel. It looked like a man to him. And they had a monumental struggle. Now, I've been in a little bit of a wrestling match before, for fun. And I want to tell you, you get 2 or 3 or 4 minutes of good hard struggle, and you're just about winded. Or at least I was. But this went on all night. And there was this struggle, and I want to tell you, dear ones, the Lord will meet you and contend with you and I because of who, you know why he wanted to bring us to a place that we're willing to say who we are. The question, after this struggle went on all night long, the day was about ready to break, and the angel said, let me go. And Jacob said, I can't. There's no way I'm going to let you go. I've got to be blessed over this thing. And folks, we need to deal with God in that same desperation. I need help. You might tell me, retort right now, they say, well, I've been saved so many years. I've been established. I've been this way. I want to tell you, don't take such an arrogant view. We need to come. I need you, Lord. Leave me not. Don't tell me to go away. I've got to have you. I won't go away. I'm hanging on. And he did. Jacob did. He hung on. I want to tell you, this angel could have at any moment done more than just touch his thigh. This angel could have touched him and he would have evaporated if he chose. The Lord limits just exactly what we need. This angel reached down and touched Jacob's, the hollow of his thigh is what it said. And it put him out of joint. Do I have it correctly? I didn't read it. Do you? I see you, Brother Michael. Something like that anyway. And he was out of joint. And he's still hanging on. I won't let you go till you bless me. The angel then comes to this point, and it's a question I want to ask every one of us tonight. What's your name? 27th verse. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And Jacob said, my name is Jacob. I believe Jacob knew what his name meant. I believe Jacob desperately wanted to be somebody different than that. And he couldn't be. Have you ever acknowledged and saw who you were? That's who I am. I don't like that. That has happened to me periodically throughout life. Periodically through my saved life. Periodically through my sanctified life. The Lord contends with me and out of his love. He comes to me where I am and he catches me alone. And he knows exactly how to apply the pressure right where he's needed. And he will say, He will say, what's your name? And then I am faced with a decision whether to really tell him the truth or not. Folks, I want to tell you, deal with God honestly. It's the best. My name's Jacob. That's who I've been identified as, Jacob, all my life long. And I want healing. You know what the angel said? You got a name change. Jacob needed something desperately. He didn't know exactly all what was in his future. He didn't know what was just beyond. All that he had worked for in life was at stake. His future, his family, the children that he loved, and the hope of what tomorrow would bring was weighed in the balance at this moment. He didn't, at that moment, did not recognize probably the great magnitude of the importance of that moment, but he knew he had great need. And the Lord came to bring him to a place where where the Lord could divinely really bring deliverance in this man's life. And that's what happened. Folks, the Lord knows. Sometimes he sees little things growing in our lives. And because he loves us, he'll catch us alone some night and contend. And thank the Lord that he does. And they'll contend till we come to the point where I recognize I see myself in the mirror and that's me. And I've got to identify, yes, that's my name. You know why he did that? He brings us to that place that we might be changed. I want to change your name. But folks, he can't change our name until we're willing, able to acknowledge who we are and turn loose of the old. It's got to go. I don't want to be Jacob anymore. I'm tired of the old Jacob. I'm tired of that thing having force and power in my life anymore. I want you, Lord, to come on the scene. I've got to have you. Jacob got the change, got the name change. I wanted to look also at another individual. You ever heard of the name of Job? Let's look over I'm going to go through some of the account of Job's life. Job was a man that the Lord himself testified to as being a righteous man. The Lord said he was righteous. The Lord even asked the devil, he said, have you considered my servant Job? He's an upright and noble man. But yet there was something in Job's life that the love of God wanted to purify and perfect. And I want to tell you, the Lord wants to purify and perfect that concerns you and I. Why? It's not out of a desire to become a domineering or become harsher to you and I, but know that our love and our joy might be full. And that the completeness of life with all that the Lord can bring to you and I, it might come to fruition in our life. That's the reason why the Lord deals with this. So he began to deal with Job. And I want to tell you, what Job went through was one of tremendous trial. Put yourself in a little bit in his shoes if you can, in your mind. He had children that he loved. Probably grandchildren. I'm not sure. They were older and married. He had great things that the Lord had blessed him with. Surely he felt accomplished. Surely the Lord has blessed me and I've reached such a plateau in my life. And he was a very studious man. He often had sacrifices that he gave to the Lord for in the place of his children. He would come and pray for his children and offer sacrifices to the Lord. Lord, bless my children. Then there came a day when one right after another came and said, your possessions are gone. Your family is gone. A world, all these things happened one right after another. Everything. And Job, honorable man, he knelt down, said, Lord,
I worship you, you're still right. He said, I came in this world naked, I'll go away. He started out the battle real good, folks. That's a good way. But the Lord's still on the hunt. The Lord's going to still be on a hunt in your life too. He wants to purify that that concerns you and I. Him later on in Job's life, for the battle drug on. Folks, a lot of times we can handle a short battle. Battles aren't always short. Sometimes the contention's all night long. Sometimes the contention is a long time. Might wear you out. Hang on. Let the Lord work in your life. This man, and I don't know, I've heard some writings on this that perhaps this was, and I don't know, over a year or longer that this man was going through this state. Tremendously difficult. And he came to a point in all this struggle, the frustrations that he dealt with, he said, Lord, I wish I could contend with you. I wish I could, if you were here, I would lay out my case before you. And he was really, what he was saying, you've done me wrong. I don't deserve this. That's what he was saying. Lord, I've looked everywhere and I can't find you. If you was just right here, I believe I could tell you you picked on the wrong one. I'm putting those things in my words. So you read the scripture and you confirm that. Or disallow it. But basically, I believe that's what Job was, he's presenting it to the Lord. And there were different ones tried to help him with his thinking in all kinds of, sometimes good ways, sometimes very bad ways. I came to the point, there was a young man that also loved the Lord, sitting there waiting. And I call him Elihu, and I don't know how you'd pronounce his name, but he's found over in the latter part of Job. And he finally said, I've been listening. And I can't listen anymore. I've got to tell you. God's right. Basically, that was his message. God's right. I don't care what you say. He's always right. God's right. You're going to have to submit to him. God's right. And then the Lord comes and says, Job, I've heard what you said. Stand up now like a man. All right. If you want to bring your case, do it. At this point, let's look over in Job, the 40th chapter. And we'll just start here. The first verse is, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He's talking to Job now. He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered and said to the Lord, he said, behold, I am vile. Folks, when we really get alone with the Lord, when I really begin to see who I am, when I begin to acknowledge who I am, when the honesty comes in the place of self-defense, when I begin to, instead of defending my old carnal human ways, I see the glory and the holiness of the Lord, and I see myself up against that, I will respond like Job did. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I lay mine hand upon my mouth. I'm done talking. I'm here now to listen. Folks, that's a good place to start getting the blessing of the Lord. Let's go on down. The Lord began to, in the rest of that chapter, the Lord began to make his case to Job. And Job listened. And he came on down now to the 42nd chapter. And this is, again, when we find ourselves, when we recognize who we are, and we stand in the presence of the Lord, when we actually, maybe before we thought ourselves pretty good. And folks, I'm not saying don't be joyful in what the Lord has done for you, but never be arrogant. Never get to the place that you can't humbly ask the Lord, move on, work Lord in my life. Have free reign in my life. And if you want to change me, Lord, go to change him. Nothing sacred here but your hand. I want it here, Lord. Job was dealt with. And there was a place in Job, evidently, I would call it maybe a certain amount of self-righteousness. He thought he was all right. The Lord had to deal with it because he loved Job. And he comes now to this point in the 42nd chapter and the 5th verse. Job also responds like this. I have heard of thee with the hearing of my ears. But now I see you. And this is the response. This is the effect that it had on him, on a good man that God said was a righteous man. This is the effect that I repent in dust and ashes. I will no longer defend who I am or who I've been. I can't. I stand before a righteous God. I look at you and I can do nothing but hang my head and ask for mercy. And I want to tell you, the Lord wanted to get him right there. And the Lord blessed that man. The Lord didn't want to crush him. The Lord wanted to heal him. You know why? Because if self-righteousness grows in our heart, it will produce seed, fruit. It will continue to grow until it blooms, till it demands its room. And I want to tell you, when self-righteousness comes, it is ugly and just as filthy as every dirty rag. It is terrible. It is something that supplants the very glory of God. And God doesn't want you and I to be clothed with our selfish rags. He really wants you and I to be clothed with His glory, with His righteousness, something that goes way beyond what you and I can do. God wants to be divinely at work in your heart and mind, changing and molding and shaping you and I into His image. That's the work of God. The work that we must do is acknowledge who we are. When the Lord brings us to that place where we know where I am, the Lord has caught me in this place. Let Him work. Let Him wrestle with Him until I get to the heart of the matter. And I get to the point that I say, that's me. He'll ask you your name. And there'll be a time you'll have to say, I didn't really want to acknowledge. But that's who I am. At that point, the Lord can pour out. Did you know Job had some beautiful daughters? You know, we think that's it. That's it, Carl. But you know the Lord gave him beautiful daughters again. Well, what happened to those others? They died. Spiritually, folks, the Lord wants to beautify you and I. He wants to make you and I attractive. And folks, true beauty goes way beyond physical beauty. True beauty is something that emanates from what God creates in our heart. The true value, the true glory of the Lord, and this is what God wants to create in you and I. And all the old ugly flesh, the only thing it does is detract from the real glory of the Lord. What's your name tonight? I want to also now go over into 1 Corinthians. A lot of times I have seen people self-justify. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen, I've seen children when they want to make room for something that they wanted. Quite frankly, I went down that road when I was young. If I felt like I wanted something and my mother said, you can't do this, but she wasn't specific enough and there was a certain little loophole that I tried to exploit. You ever heard children do that? I heard myself do that. And I would come to the point and I'd say, well, you didn't say. And my mother always looked at me and said, I didn't have to. You knew what I meant. We know what God means. He doesn't have to be real specific. Don't self-justify. I can build all kinds of things in my life and the Lord lets us. He will try to correct. He will try to point you and I. He will work with you and I. At the extent we let Him, if we have hunger and thirst after righteousness, if we seek His face, I'm going to tell you, you will be filled. You will be blessed. You will be corrected. You will be guided. You will be led down the path of righteousness. But if you choose not to, He'll let you. But don't self-justify. I want to turn over here to 1 Corinthians. Didn't get there a while ago when I was coming through here. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. The 13th verse. When you and I, if we go through life and we begin to build our structure and our life and all that we choose to do and the boundaries of our life. And folks, every one of us are going to build for the boundaries of where we're going to live our lives. You're going to do it. God asks us tonight to build it within the bounds of His holy way. Because it's right and it's good. And it's really the most comfortable way that God created us to live in. So the Lord asks us to come and walk in His holy way. This verse says, every man's work shall be made manifest. The day will declare it. You know what He's saying? Time will bring it to light. Wisdom cries in the street, does it not? Do we not look out and see there are so many ways that we can take, but every one of them that we can take has already been tried by somebody. We don't have to reinvent it. I don't have to say, well, I can do that way better and I can get by with it better. I'm a little smarter. I'm a little wiser. I've seen their mistakes. I believe I can still take that path and I can get by with it. I've got more willpower. Wrong. They did too. They thought that same thing. Don't have to reinvent it. The day will declare. You know what? The best thing for you and I to do is humble down right now. As quick as we can. Say, Lord, I want your way. And I want to tell you that they will also declare that one. You mark the perfect man. You behold the upright. And you watch him, just sit there and watch him for the next 10 or 15 years and you tell me then if his way is not right. You tell me then if it's not. The day will declare it. You watch him. You watch him when he goes through the hard times. You watch him when people mistreat him. You watch him when somebody slaps him in the face and see if he's not a man. Any sissy can strike back. It takes a man. And I know this, but no, I haven't been smitten like that. But I can tell you one of the easiest things for me to do in my old carnal man is to rise up and smite. It's a simple, devilish thing. But it takes something that God wants to grow in our hearts. He wants men to be men. To stand up. The day will declare it, folks. The day is coming. Your work will be tried. The day will declare who you are. The day will declare who I am. And God wants our work to stand because it's founded on a rock. He wants you and I to dig down. Remove all the confetti, all the loose sand, all the shifting ideas of mankind. Move it out of the way and dig down to where I want the Lord and Him alone. I want to tell you, you can build safely your life there. Acknowledge who I am. Acknowledge where we are. Let the Lord try our reins. Let the Lord be at work in our lives. For every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed. It says fire here. It means strong. It's going to burn away everything. There's only one thing that's going to last. It'll be the gold of what God has put in your life. And I want the fire of God working. Oh, I don't want the... Yes, you do. You want the burn. You want the fire of the Lord. Oh, let it all drop away. That's not like it. Burn on, Lord. Keep on. Oh, no, I'm not talking about excitement here that burns across and we all get excited. No, I'm talking about the burn of the Lord separating between the evil and the good. Making movement in my life. Changing who I am. Acknowledging, Lord, I don't want to stay here. I know who I used to be. I know my name. I want to change. And He'll do it. Jacob went off limping. And there may have been people who thought, oh, he chose it. He did something wrong. Nope, he did something right. There are certain things about you and I need to be damaged. There are things that we should not go through life. Jesus said it like this. He said, if thine eye offend thee, he said, pluck it out. He didn't mean actually digging his eye out. But there are some things that need to be offended in us. I'm not talking about people. What? That does hurt. But he went limping with a badge of victory. The Lord changed his name. Folks, if you see me limping and you think I'm a weak man, I want to tell you the Lord's given me great victories. You say, oh, he's not man enough to stand up for himself. I just want to ask you to pray that I'll keep being man enough to stand for God instead of for me. I don't want to stand for myself. Folks, these are some of the areas the devil would like to come in and work on our weak places in our life. Don't let him do it. This is who I am. Acknowledge who I am. Let the healing of the Lord be. Let the name changing go. Let the fire of the Lord expose who I am. Because it's for it through his love, his desire to heal, and cause you and I to be abundantly victorious in this life we live in today, around our neighbors, around our family, around our children, that we might be trees of righteousness. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.